for 49ers football in the 916 Sacktown Sports.
Yeah. Whitey here in our Sacramento studios, Kyle Draper in Miami. Drapes, I wanted to give you the honors. I know how fond you are of the return of the umpire. Could you introduce the guys and bring them on? They're ready to go here. They're in studio. You want to introduce them?
Yeah, I'll bring in my guys. Nate Littlefield, Emil Fragoso.
Oh, thanks for having me, Drapes.
The Empire.
Hi, Drapes.
Niners fans joining us right now.
Yeah. So. I always call me a Niner fan. Okay.
Yeah, I kind of would, though. I kind of would.
Drapes, yeah. Will you do me a favor and say hi to Cinderella for me in that ballroom?
Nice one, Nate. Hey, don't be jealous.
I am jealous.
I'm hella
jealous.
Hey,
if you find a glass slipper, make sure you give it to Lost and Found.
Hey, you wish the hotels you stayed in
had a
ballroom like this.
I do.
I know.
They're putting us in the Excalibur, Draper, for Media Row.
Hold on.
Do not have a ballroom there.
You're going to Vegas?
Yes, I am. I'm the,
I know.
Is
this like reverse importance? You send a low man on a totem pole to Vegas and then working up to the big dog?
I think so. They know I can just kind of weasel my way around and just, you know, cause some problems.
Good
so maybe
you. I didn't realize you were going.
Yeah, I know.
Awesome.
I don't think a lot of people would, but here we are.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
congrats, terrific. Man. It should be fun.
I appreciate it. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and Emil, I know you're very excited about getting credentials for the actual Super Bowl itself, right?
Yeah, I would be lying to say it's not a dream come true. I'm very, very grateful, very, very blessed to be in year two of covering the Niners and be able to go to the Super Bowl and be in the press box. So I will say that.
Things fell in place for that. It really,
really
just kind of happened.
Fell in place.
Team of destiny, as they say.
Yeah.
Woo!
You guys are going to have a fun show. Let me ask you what we were just talking to Akash and Varathan about. At what point were you the least optimistic Sunday that the 49ers are going to find their way through?
I was pretty uncomfortable when Detroit was going down to score right before the end of the half. I thought they were going to score a touchdown right there. They kicked the field goal. I felt better. I thought they could have stopped him. The Niners could have stopped him. But I was like, that could be a killer. And then everything flipped.
You were glad they kicked the field goal?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I felt the exact same
way.
Really?
I was so hyped when Ayuk had the catch. But that was the start. I was like, okay, that's something. Let's go. But when the fumble happened,
oh yeah,
that was it. All right, it's a new game. It's a new game. Jared Goff not playing the same. The only player, in my opinion, that played the same the entire game out of everyone on the field was Christian McCaffrey. He kept the same intensity. He just played the same way. Everyone on Detroit became the Niners. Everyone in Detroit in the second half became the Niners in the first half, and vice versa. Yeah. They just switched roles, and then the Niners. They did what they had to do, and I was so impressed by that quarterback for the 49ers. I shouldn't even say his name. I know how polarizing he is. I know he causes problems.
Yeah, I know.
But the way he came out of the hole, because it's so difficult to do that. Throwing that pick early on and just not being able to just get anything done, really. They ran the ball more. They couldn't run. They tried to, and they couldn't. And then he turned it around.
How about this stat? Brock Purdy had more rushing yards in that game than Jameer Gibbs.
Aha. Uh-huh.
That's hard to believe, honestly.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I was so happy, and it felt like a taste of what the Super Bowl hopefully will be. I'm so excited. I'm ready to go.
I'm ready to go. Are you ready to go?
I don't know if I can take part in this love fest anymore. I mean, this is just, it's killing me.
When they go to the NFC Championship and win, get to the Super Bowl, what do you want me to do?
Drapes? Can't you be happy for us? Come on.
No, because
for me.
You guys are supposed to be unbiased journalists.
Not me. Emil, not me.
That's my job. That's not Nate's.
I have never, ever, ever once said I'm an unbiased journalist. I don't even know why I'm on this show. Like, just because I'm, like, a fan. Like, I don't even know. Like,
that's why.
Someone's like, hey, will you do the Niners thing? I know you like the Niners. I'm like, okay,
this
but
is
I'm
literally
not.
How this
I'm not an analyst. I'm just some dumb guy. Like, you guys are shocked I'm going to Vegas. Yeah, understandable.
I didn't say I was shocked. I just said I didn't know. Okay.
Yeah. I think Drape said he was. Yeah, or something close.
Yeah, I'm best with you. I assumed you would go. You guys got.
It's more for my digital
show, Return of the Empire. let's break down the matchup, though. Let's talk about this.
All right.
We only got a few seconds, but go ahead.
Oh, we got a few.
We can bleed over. It's our show. No, let's bleed over.
No, I was just going to say, you know, when you look at the road the Niners have gotten to this point, what kind of test is Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes going to be? Because they're not going to collapse like the Lions did, the Packers did. These guys have been there. They've done that. Handicap the coach quarterback matchup for me.
I mean, been there, done that. So hard to argue that. Those are the two points where I think undoubtedly you'd say the Chiefs have the advantage, right? It's coach quarterback.
That's why he went there.
Why he went there. Exactly. That's why he went there. But if the Niners, I think it's going to be hard for the Niners, harder, obviously, to win the way they have the last 2 weeks. I think they have to win like they were all season in the regular season. They're going to have to get up early, and they're going to have to control the Chiefs. And I know you'll be like, 2019, they were up by 10, whatever. This is a way different team.
Yeah.
There's a lot of similar players. This team is so different. This is the best 49ers team I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So you got to keep them in check the best you can. What you cannot do is what Baltimore did, and they let Mahomes have all freaking day. That guy'd be in the backfield, just kind of stomping around, doing his little jigs, little Steph Curry moves.
Doing some online shopping on his phone.
Waving to Taylor.
Chase Young, play a little harder.
I didn't name the show.
Let's go, baby.
It's time for the Return of the Empire podcast. 1 hour of all things red and gold. Return of the Empire. Here are your hosts, Sacktown Sports 49ers insider Emil Fragoso and Nate Littlefield.
Testing 1, 2. Oh, yeah, that's right. Emil Fragoso, Nate Littlefield, back again. Return of the Empire. Back for another show. And, of course, Nate, it's a happy show. Not a sad show like we thought it would be at halftime when things seemed doom and gloom. Because, once again, the Niners came back in historic fashion. 27 unanswered points against the Lions, winning 34-31 in the NFC Championship game. And are now headed to Super Bowl 58. Welcome in, Return of the Empire. 49ers insider Emil Fragoso, Nate Littlefield, Kyle Ledbetter on the ones and twos. We are back. We are live. Thank you, everyone in the chat. Megadeth, I see you right there. Appreciate everyone listening on Sacktown Sports. Nate, thoughts, vibes, feelings, what's going on right now?
I'm very happy, but job's not done yet. I've been here before. It's the third time in my life I've experienced getting to the Super Bowl. And, man, that was such a crazy game to watch.
Yep.
I mean, coming back from 17, very similar to the Niners-Falcons in 2012. Just another roller coaster. Two back-to-back playoff classics for the Niners, I think. I mean, this run has been legendary so far. And they just need to do it.
Yes.
Plain and simple. Their team... I just think their team is better than the Super Bowl opponent. I'm not going to name them yet.
The one that, Kyle was wearing back there?
Yeah, he
hasn't
really...
You mean the greatest quarterback to ever play the
game? Okay, let's get careful really quick. There was still a man named Tom Brady who, rocked for a good...
Well, this is not an argument
we need
to
have.
Save this for later.
Yeah, also, or for never.
Yeah.
Or for never, because
Bay Area's own Tom Brady, I should say.
I don't defend Tom Brady. It's all about Joe Montana.
Oh.
So let's
aww,
go ahead and tighten
so
that up.
That's so cute.
Kyle, shut up.
We're going to see how this show goes.
I'm very happy that the 49ers are in the Super Bowl. I genuinely believe that they're going to win. But we'll kind of get into that more in a bit. I kind of want to just get into how they got here, because Niners open up as 7.5-point favorites against Detroit.
Yep.
That's scary right there. And they just get down early against the Lions. Jake Moody misses a kick, 48-yarder. That's still a problem.
Yeah.
That's still an issue.
And we'll discuss all the concerns and problems for the Niners going into this game.
Made the rest of his kicks. you know, no injuries in the game. But anyways, they get down early. They get down 24 to 3 at the half or 7? 7. 24 to 7 at the
17
half.
17-point deficit.
And the fear is real. The fear is there.
Oh, yeah.
You got C.J. Gardner-Johnson talking trash, waving at the fans, all that stuff. Goff is playing great. I'd say Goff played great the whole time. It's just his receivers were dropping the ball and untimely fumbles.
Yeah. Eminem in the crowd, you know, having a little standoff with some people.
Whatever.
It was
fine.
It was Journey was playing Don't Stop Believin'. Detroit was losing their minds, obviously, because of that song.
Journey was live at the game, right?
They were. They were halftime.
That was ambiguous a little bit during the broadcast.
But yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, not the lead singer, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm just saying that everything was going Detroit's way. It felt like this was the worst possible thing that could happen for the 49ers. And yet, what happened? They pulled up their big boy pants, put on their hard hats, they went to work. 27 unanswered on the Detroit Lions. They really fell apart. A massive, massive collapse. And Nate, I ask you, did the 49ers win that game? Or did the Lions give them the game?
Okay, so funny, I'm going to bring up a little personal story. Driving home from my parents' house after watching the game, watch it with my dad, Kayla, you know, my parent, just my family. It's a real tight circle. Don't like to watch the game with people.
Yeah.
So I'm riding home with Kayla, and we're in the car, and we're listening just to 1140, syndicated radio, CBS at the time. And I forget who it was at night, but he's like, he asked the same question. He wants callers to call it. Did the Niners win this game or did Detroit lose this game?
Yep.
And Kayla looks at me and goes, what does that mean? Isn't that the same thing? And I think you get to the point where you're overanalyzing something too much. And maybe this sounds like I'm defending the Niners, but I think they snatched the game. Like there's more of an argument for Green Bay throwing it away than Detroit throwing it away, in my opinion, in the last 2 weeks.
I get it, yeah.
I think the Niners capitalized on what they had to. Their defense was horrible to start. Putrid.
They were bad.
To start the game. Putrid. Especially, like, you see Chase Young missing that tackle on the touchdown.
Not even that, but to open the game, allow a four-play, 75-yard drive where the touchdown was a 42-yard end-around from Jamison Williams.
Yeah. Ben Johnson still had 10 scripted plays left over.
Yeah, I mean, it was just everything. It was like, wow, that was fast.
It was cool to see Jair Brown get the start, though, come back in there.
Yeah.
I appreciated that. But all in all, like, this team is playing so different than they've been playing all year this last 2 weeks. They're a different team. They seem more like a playoff team. They seem like almost like they kind of strolled into the playoffs, kind of got that one seed, messed around, got the one seed. And they got gut checked by Green Bay. And I guess they got checked again by Detroit.
Well,
what? Go ahead.
I was listening to Barros, actually, yesterday, Monday.
Okay.
And I wanted to hear what Barros' thoughts were from that game. And he kind of relayed that, you know, the Niners' goal all year was to be the one seed and to go into the postseason, get that bye, take their time, and then go out and kick ass in the next 2 weeks to follow. Barros contemplated that maybe the Niners' emphasis on their regular season goal kind of let them slack off with their postseason goal a little bit.
Yeah.
And maybe it was possible because they did get the one seed. They had the week off. They thought they had everything taken care of. And the hotter team, the fresher team, which was, we talked about this with the rust, obviously, too, especially with week 18 being basically a no-nothing game.
Is fresh the right word to use? Because
rust?
No. You're saying Green Bay was the fresher team?
Yes.
I think, I don't know if fresh is the right word, but the team with the momentum. Maybe.
Informed team.
Yeah, the team that has been stayed up on their, stayed up on their cardio.
Green Bay was coming off a week where they were up 27-0 on Dallas. Yeah, they were also peaking at the right time, and it was good that they didn't have rest.
Yeah.
Yes, and so that was what Matt Barros contemplated on his morning with Dave on Monday. And I kind of agree. I kind of feel like the Niners' whole goal all season, and we talked with Kyle yesterday as well, Kyle Shanahan, and he said that, you know, our goal was to look at it one thing at a time, go with regular season first and then look at the playoffs. Was the emphasis on the regular season and snatching up the division and snatching up number one seed, did that outweigh the overall goal of winning the Super Bowl? I think probably not, but there is definitely an argument for that they kind of let that go a little too seriously.
Yeah, I think there's definitely an argument to be made, but all this has been a very interesting path to the playoffs. I don't know if I like the seeding where only the one seed gets the bye.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that. I'm going to need a few more years of that to really, because I liked, it was nice when the top two got it, but now one feels so much more special, which is nice too. I haven't made up my mind about that, but like last year, you look at the Eagles, they almost did the exact same thing the Niners did,
yeah.
resting wise, like week 18, take yep. it off, you know, get the bye. Mm-hmm. But they, who did they have in the first round last year? Do you guys remember?
Giants. They destroyed
okay,
the Giants.
Okay, yeah, but that makes way more sense. Okay.
So the Giants were different. Fraudulent.
Giants
we knew
were
that.
Very, very bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very similar path. It's going to be different in the big one, in my opinion.
It will be.
But I am just so glad they made it out. I think that win, I said this last week about the Green Bay. We watched Brock develop right before our eyes. We watched him grow. We watched him become a better player.
Yeah.
And then we watched it again this week. Like, yeah. we really did watch this guy develop into who he's going to be in the future. We're seeing him grow. We're seeing him, like, almost put the team on his back at some points.
Yeah.
When he's running the ball, when he's running for 51 yards, oh that I think gosh. Ended up being 48 because he had to take that knee at the end or whatever.
Yeah.
We are so, like, I'm trying to absorb the process that he's showing before all of us. We're seeing yeah. him develop, and it's fantastic. I think he's playing the best ball he's ever played in his life. I can confidently say that. I haven't watched him his whole life, but obviously when you're in the NFL, I've watched every game in the NFL he's played.
Your best form comes out.
Yeah, he's
at the highest level.
And they love him. Like, you hear George Kittle, he's mic'd up. He's like, he's doing that. Okay, so at the end, he does the, they had us in the first half, not going to lie thing. He did that bit. But he went around, he was mic'd up the whole game.
Yep.
And he's in the first half saying, I can't wait till after this game when I can say, oh, they had us in the first half, not going to lie.
Yep.
He says that to Brock, and Brock is like doesn't laugh at anything, just straight face.
He's
and then
stoned,
George is
yeah.
like, George is like, hey, take that mentality, and I know it's silly or whatever, but take that and apply it like we're going to win. We're going to win. And Brock's just like, yep. Like
he goes, have fun. You're the guy.
Yeah, you're the guy. You're
the
right.
guy.
You're right. You're the guy. What a great quote.
Yeah.
You're the guy. Because it's true. He has to be the guy.
Yeah.
He has to be the guy. Sure, CMC is the guy.
Trent Williams
is the guy.
The two best, most important offensive players. But yeah. at the end of the day, the quarterback is the one that has to make the plays uh-huh. for it to work. We saw that last year against Philadelphia when they didn't have one.
Brock is the guy.
He's the guy.
He's not the guy. He's the leader. He's the guy.
You're the quarterback. That's the most important position.
And then you look at the second half, too. The defense, a lot of people calling out, you know, like Nick Bosa specifically for not getting sacks or anything. He gets two pretty timely, important sacks on the Lions on Jared Goff, throws the man down and just looks great. Like they yeah. I can't believe how different this team looked.
Yeah.
Coming out in the second half. It just made no sense. I was talking about, I had to take a walk at halftime. I had to take the dogs for a walk.
I took a walk too.
And we have our little family friend who we watch sometimes. His name's Gabe. He's like a little 5-year-old. He comes over, hangs out with him. And
hi, Gabe.
He took the dogs on a walk with us, or it was just me and him and the dogs. And we, you know, had to reset a little bit,
yeah.
and I was like, not Detroit, man. Detroit, like, this is fun. They think, you know,
oh, yeah.
similar to the Kings last year. Oh, you're having a good time. But you got to experience heartbreak because it's not all fun and games. It's not.
Yeah, and you know, at the end of the day, man, Dan Campbell, or should I call him his new name, Dan Gamble. Dan Gamble gambled a lot there. He rolled the dice pretty much, and I couldn't believe I'm sitting there going into halftime. They're at the goal line. It's fourth and six, fourth and goal, and they kicked the field goal.
Was it fourth and six?
They were
They were at the six, but they could have picked up a first down. It
yeah,
wasn't
it was
goal
close.
To go.
But basically, with the time left, it was you're going to probably go get a touchdown here.
Yeah,
because okay. you're so close with that being you're not going for the 2-yard line. You're going for the end zone.
They took the 3-score lead, is what you're saying? Yes.
My point being is that he didn't gamble there. He took the 3 points. I was questionable on that because if there was a time to go for the kill shot. It's right before half.
I think we watched him grow a lot, too. I think with his decision-making at the end, instead of taking the he drove down and tried to get the touchdown. They did get the touchdown that in their last drive. But I think the point, maybe you should have kicked the field goal in hindsight. But, you know, he's a third-year head coach. It's fine. I felt like a lot of people are giving him crap because he didn't stay true to himself.
Yeah.
Maybe that one play. But all the other fourth downs he went for were like – a drop, first of all.
The analytics said go for it. Yeah. All the analytics said go for it.
I don't blame. I'm not harping on, well, obviously, like, thanks for letting us win, Dan, but
yeah.
I don't think he deserves that much hate. I think,
no.
And he said in the post game, like, this was might have been our one chance, which, yeah, I mean, it's really hard. I think Detroit is good. I think they will just get better. I think they're going to make some smart moves.
Especially considering that Ben Johnson is sticking around for their season.
Yeah, I think if you're a fan of Detroit, you got another two-year window to kind of see what happens and stay towards the top. You got to worry about Green Bay, though. I think Green Bay
Chicago as well, and if whatever Minnesota does. I mean, the NFC North has some competitors. No team you would say in the NFC North now is a rebuilding team.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm just happy. I'm happy they won. Yep. That was a fantastic game. I'm ready.
Yep. I am pleased as well because we are going to the Super Bowl. We are going to discuss that matchup coming back from the break here in just a second. Emil Fragoso, Nate Littlefield, Kyle Ledbetter, Return of the Empire, Super Bowl edition. We'll be back in just a moment.
Welcome back to the Return of the Empire podcast
with Emil Fragoso and Nate Littlefield.
Out of the shotgun, drops a couple of steps, going to take a deep shot to Brandon Ayuk. It's deflected.
Oh, he caught it!
And caught! Ayuk caught it out of the air. A flag is also down. Did Ayuk score? He got touchdown on the 2-yard line.
Oh, he caught it!
That's what gets me on that one.
That's the same reaction I had watching it because I'm on the corner on the other part of the field. Watching from the press box, and all of a sudden I see the ball pop up, and I see it hit the safety's helmet and then fly up in the air. I'm like, no way BA caught that thing.
So did they pick up that flag? Because I was freaking out.
Yeah, it was a defensive pass interference.
And they picked it up because they realized that it wasn't a defensive pass interference. It was just the player made a mistake.
Yeah.
So they ruled it a no penalty. So the play stood.
Yeah, so they picked, okay.
Yes. Yeah. Because we were worried at first it was going to be OPI, but we were like, how is that OPI? And then they were like, well, it was a DPI. And then, like, well, it's a no penalty.
There was one of those plays in the first quarter where Ayuk was, like, playing defense on the safety because it was so dramatically overthrown.
That was a good play.
That one could have been a
I've seen
whatever.
Kittle have to do that a couple times when he puts his
strap but
he
played it well. He didn't turn his head, but he didn't get there early at the same time.
Correct, yeah.
Good cornerback play by Ayuk.
Everything seemed to change this Niners team on that 4th-and-2. Everything seemed to change on that 4th-and-2 when Dan Gamble decided to go for it on the 4th-and-2 and not pick it up to Amon-Ra St. Brown. I believe Amon-Ra was behind him on that throw and they couldn't convert. Niners go right back down and score a touchdown on the next series, and I believe they make it 24-17 was the score on that. And that's where everything felt different there.
And then the fumble?
And then the fumble on the next play was right after that. And then we're like, we have a real chance here. There was the moment. As soon as Jahmyr Gibbs fumbled that ball, the whole stadium erupted. We were in shock.
I mean, just the fact that it was the first play they ran, and it was clearly a mistake because he ran up the wrong side or whatever.
Yeah.
Or he ran the wrong side of Goff
He needed to go right, went left. It was,
I want to talk about injuries.
Yes.
Going into this game, going into the Super Bowl. Nothing really for the Niners, but what did scare me a little bit was, so you get Dre Greenlaw getting hurt. Right during the game, hurts his shoulder, and he's like visibly hurt.
Oh,
but
that's
not always a bad thing. Have I told you guys this theory before about injuries?
I don't think you have.
I've heard a sports doctor say this. I think it might have been Stefania Bell from ESPN.
She's great.
But said that it's more worrisome when you see a player. Generally, it's not always true, but when you see a player in pain, screaming, you're like, don't freak out. But when you see a player on the ground looking shocked, like they just saw a car crash or something, or like not moving or not reacting crazy, that's when the fear should be there.
Yeah.
Like Aaron Rodgers standing there after his Achilles, it's because your body goes into insane shock to prevent you from feeling that pain.
Yeah.
So like a stinger, like Dre Greenlaw, that is going to be
McCaffrey
generally
as
better.
Well.
Yeah, generally like a more acceptable thing. You like look at Debo's hairline fracture this year. Like that, like he still tried to play after that, after he had that hairline fracture for like a few plays.
Yes.
And then they find out that's what it was down the line.
Or so. Or last year against Tampa Bay Buccaneers, remember over the middle he got hit really hard to his knee and had to be carted off, and he was in excruciating pain. Turns out it was just a sprain. It was not a torn anything. So to your theory, that's correct.
Yeah, so and then that'll knock you out for a few weeks rather than a year.
A year, correct.
So just, you know, next time you're watching a game, I've applied that theory to my football and all sports watching too. When you watch an NBA player scream, you know they're okay. But like every time, but when they're like down, like not moving, like when Klay Thompson tore his ACL,
yeah,
you're like, or like when Durant tore his Achilles,
yeah, Kobe, similar,
yeah,
when he was shooting
Kobe's
the free throws.
Also a different human,
but again, he was a stonewall shooting those free throws, but you knew how much you could see like the pain, but he was also like dead set on just getting this done and going,
yeah, yeah. That's all adrenaline. That's all. So that's kind of a something to look out for. It's something I've kind of lived and died by when it comes to injury. But I was still worried about Dre because it looked bad when he goes to the side. He's grabbing his shoulder. You don't know if he pops it out or what.
It's okay.
What
to do.
It was worth a text from me to you.
It was.
I texted you.
Went into the BMT, the Blue Medical Tent.
Yeah.
They came right back out and was fine.
Yeah, you said grabbed helmet.
You with all the nicknames today. First, it's Dan Gamble, and now it's the BMT, the Blue Medical
I was
tent.
Not the first one to see that. I forgot. Well, I saw it on someone's Twitter. I think it might have been Jennifer Lee.
Sandwich?
Yes, a BMT is a sandwich. No, a BMT is also a sandwich.
It's what? It's bacon, mayonnaise, tomato?
I think there's also pepperoni in there.
Kyle, can we get a Google check on that?
Yeah. Let's see what it is.
Okay, so
is.
The Dre Greenlaw had me worried a little bit.
Yes.
And then at the end,
McCaffrey.
You watch Christian McCaffrey land on his head.
Yeah.
The man lands on his head, and you're like, oh, and then you see him getting worked out on the side.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, my, a neck injury in the NFC Championship?
The official
He didn't play after that.
He was fine.
Yeah.
The official diagnosis was a nerve stinger to his shoulder.
That sounds horrible.
he's okay. He's fine. It's just a stinger. It's okay. I don't know what is the Niner team and stingers. I just love getting stingers right now.
Update, I mean, they hit hard. Yeah.
Update here. So BMT stands for a big meat trio, and apparently it's a thing that's only at Subway.
Oh, that sounds about right.
Yeah. We would know that because the only thing to eat around us over here is Subway.
Yeah, it's apparently salami, yeah, pepperoni, and ham is your big meat trio.
Interesting. Okay, that's good to know.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
That sounds like a subject.
So I'm McCaffrey, though.
Yeah.
I'm McCaffrey. We talked to McCaffrey after the game. He mentioned that he was fine. It was more of a
precaution.
I didn't want to go back into the game if I had a little bit of doubt about my shoulder, you know, ball security. That's why they put Elijah Mitchell in there for that goal line stand. It worked out because you don't want your bell cow back not being able to grip the ball correctly at the goal line because then it's a fumble. And as we saw in the Ravens game, that could be a touchback and disaster happens.
Yes. And then Elijah Mitchell came in, got his first play. which I'm not mad at.
No, I'm happy for Eli, man. He's really worked his tail off to get back.
He got the touchdown, first play in the playoffs. And it was kind of nice to see him get that run and keep CMC okay, but I'm just happy they got out of there practically no injuries. Debo seemed to be at 100%, almost 90 yards. I think he had 89 yards, and then receiving, and then I don't think he rushed.
Yeah,
Debo did. Oh no, he did for 7 yards. He had 3 carries. I don't remember that.
They wanted to. They tried to get him going on the end of rounds. It wasn't working. The Aaron Glenn defense really figured that out very well. And the Niners in general wanted to keep Debo, frankly, away from the run game because of the shoulder injury. They didn't really want to put too much on him. Which senior Gardner Johnson really tried to dig at him with that illegal hit there, and really went at his injured shoulder. Which was
you were watching the game closer than I was. What was the deal with Kittle? You know, because at one point he had like one catch for -1 yards for the most part of the game.
They ran a screen and he got tripped.
Yeah, he got tripped.
Yeah, but it was weird that they didn't target him, and then all of a sudden on the one play. I think it was the go-ahead scoring drive.
Yeah. That's a losing recipe for the Niners when they don't target him.
They need to get – the problem is that with the Lions especially, they send a lot of blitzes. They send a lot of 5-6-man blitzes. A 5-man front for them is pretty much normal, which if you look at the Niners 5-5, someone's going to get – it's one-on-one. Someone's going to lose that. When they send the 6, someone's got to protect. So they use Kittle and the tight ends to chip more. And that was kind of the thing, and they're using them on delay routes. And they had to look at the wideouts more so. But yes, Nate, to your point, you are correct. The Niners and their formula to success, and when they get George Kittle the ball and get him the ball in space.
Yeah, it's. I think he's going to have a pretty prominent role in the Super Bowl if it's outside of blocking, because no matter what, he's going to be blocking.
Yes.
He's the best. He's the best to do it when it comes to blocking.
And speaking of Kittle, he does have a toe injury in his day-to-day at this time. He's totally fine. Same with Ambry Thomas, who has an ankle injury. He is also day-to-day. They are fine. That's the only injury report for the Niners.
Ambry goes out, and Logan Ryan steps in to play that nickel corner, and that was fantastic.
And was good.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
So that might be something to look at for Steve.
Yeah, because I'm scared of Ambry still.
No, trust me. Everyone understands
And Demo gave up a touchdown, too.
Which Demo's been really good in the playoffs lately. So
Deaminor Lenore, not Debo Samuel.
No, Demo Lenore, yes.
Yes.
Good news that Kansas City only has one competent wide receiver, so that should make it easier for Ambry playing the edge.
Which wide receiver, though?
They're benching their worst receiver.
That is a bad news because Kadarius Toney's probably not playing.
He's
hurt.
Dude.
You know who I'm talking about, Rashee.
Yeah.
MVS has really come up big for them the last couple weeks.
Rashee is. Their only good receiver.
I'm just being honest. He's had some big catches the last few weeks.
He has three total catches. Or he has four total catches in the last two games.
Hey, Chris Conley had one massive catch against the Packers, and it was vital. It was needed.
We'll talk about Kansas City more as it goes along.
But anyway, we got to get through these injuries. So Niners are pretty much unscathed, which is great.
Amazing.
Very happy about it. KC's a little bit more trouble. So ex-Niner Charles Omenihue, torn ACL.
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay, I said unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
All right.
We always want players to be healthy.
Yeah.
I'll say that again. We always want players to be healthy. Anyway.
Yeah. And then Joe, it's Tooney, right?
Yeah, Joe Tooney.
Yeah, I always say it wrong.
Joe Tooney.
You wrote long shot, but you don't think they push him to play?
That's the report I've heard there have been. Unfortunately, it's a pec strain, potentially a torn pec.
Oh.
There are differing opinions from doctors. They don't know if he needs to have surgery, and that's why he's considered, per Adam Schefter, a long shot to play even in the Super Bowl.
Gotcha, gotcha.
Which, remember what happened the last time Kansas City had injuries on the offensive line going into the Super Bowl?
They got crushed by Tom Brady.
Correct, which is
they started Mike Remmers.
Yeah.
That did not go well.
I think
well
they had one starting, Kyle, you would know, obviously. They had one starting O-lineman.
That sounds, at least from week one, that sounds about right. Because I know Eric Fisher tore his ACL in the AFC Championship game that year.
Where is Eric Fisher right now?
He was with the Colts. I don't know if he's free agent or something like
crazy
that.
Crazy he went number one overall. But
yeah, it is.
Regardless.
Yeah, but Kansas City also has three really good offensive linemen.
Kansas City banged up a bit. Mahomes got punched in the face, but I guess he's fine.
Yeah, Derek and Dottie, their nose tackle, had a tricep injury, did not play against Baltimore. Naughty, thank you. Derek Naughty had a tricep injury, did not play against Baltimore Ravens. Same with Sky Moore, knee injury, did not play as well. They are much more banged up. Isaiah Pacheco was questionable going into that game. He did play. They're more banged up than Niners, which is not usually the Niners' formula. The Niners are usually the more banged up team.
Arguably, like that,
they've been so healthy. They're the healthiest team they've been.
It's fantastic. Yeah. It's fantastic. This is the year they needed. They, obviously the Debo and Trent Williams games were missed, and a couple guys here and there. Dre Greenlaw's missed a couple games, and you know what? They're good. CMC's been good. Not much I can say on the Niners' injury front, except for I'm very satisfied where they are.
Yeah.
Especially a
quarterback, because Brock Purdy is healthy to go. And, man, Brock Purdy has some big shots in that game. Like,
the one
to Debo up the middle where the defensive tackle had a free run on him and just clobbered him and threw a dart to Debo.
Debo loves to get hit. Dude, people run into him, and it's seriously like a wall.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I don't get it. The physics don't make sense.
He's built like a Cadillac. That's why.
Yeah.
He's literally built like a Cadillac. That dude is thick.
Escalade.
He squats.
Yeah. He can squat. I wonder how much he can squat. Probably more than me.
You know what's funny? We were talking about Trent Williams with Kyle Shanahan before the NFC Championship game. And Trent used the off week to do a lot of work. And Kyle was talking about how Trent does box jumps. And it's like unbelievable. You would think he's a 25-year-old.
It's crazy.
Like Trent Williams is doing box jumps at 35 years old days.
He's so big.
Think about that, guys.
Yeah, it's
the most. He has an argument for being the most dominant at his position in the NFL.
Yeah,
and that's why Trent's going to play next year as well, because he has a real chance to have all the records and go down as the greatest left tackle of all time.
Yeah, I think it's very possible.
And they got him for basically nothing.
Yeah. I think he's going to get.
Thank
a Super
you,
Bowl
Washington.
Ring. But yeah, I'm happy. No one's really hurt. The game plan worked well. I did want to share this stat. There was a point, ESPN does the win probability as the game's happening. Last week, Detroit had almost a 92% chance to win.
Detroit?
They botched it. They botched it pretty hard.
Was that right before the fourth down when it was 24-7?
This is halfway through the third about. Interesting. When it was first and 10 on San Francisco's 36. Yes. So yes. This was right before.
Yes.
This is right before that drive. And then it dipped as soon as they turned it over.
Because remember, the Niners got the ball first, went down, only got a field goal.
Yep.
So it was 24-10, and then the Lions were driving.
Which is why in the moment I thought they were going to take the points on the first go for it play. I mean, the analytics said go for it, but I thought they were personally going to kick a field goal.
So it gets so dramatic here. It goes for an 80% win chance probability and then drops all the way to the Niners' favor. So at 52, so like a 28% swing when Brock Purdy scrambled to the Detroit 4 right before they scored another touchdown. So I think that's when he threw the touchdown to Ayuk right after that.
Because they got stalled out doing the run plays, and they had to go to third down. And thankfully, Ayuk got open on the slant route and was able to convert there.
God, that was such a crazy game.
The Ayuk catch was just insane. One of the greatest.
The problem is people are going to forget so many other things that happened in the game on both sides. Specifically, Juwan Jennings' third down Odell Beckham Jr. catch.
Dude, what? Brock was going to scramble there and then did the most. Rule. Do not throw across. We just watched Jordan Love do this and make a mistake. Yep. Yeah. Do not throw across your body in the middle of the field. And yet, threw it perfectly for only Juwan Jennings to get. And Juwan Jennings, third and Juwan's what they call him, made an incredibly clutch play. McCaffrey putting C.J. Gardner-Johnson in the turf earlier in the game. There were so many crazy, crazy plays that happened in that second half. I mean, honestly, it's incredible the Niners came back, and I even texted my boss Joe DeRose afterwards, and I was like, "Team of Destiny," because only Team of Destiny can do this stuff.
Here we go. It's that time. It's that time of the show.
The Niners,
we bust under Kyle out the Shanahan, cliches.
Could not win games trailing, and in the last 2 weeks, have only done that.
It's been great. It's been great.
They flipped the script entirely.
I could think of one reason why this team is different.
What do you mean?
It's one, the most talented team they've had in any of the Shanahan years, and two, they've got that bad man playing quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers.
He's good. He's really good. I know
that's the key difference.
I don't know if he's elite yet.
He's pretty good.
Did you come up with that?
I never heard
that before. That's funny.
Yeah. My philosophy has basically been whatever you think about Tua is about where Brock Purdy is. That's kind of a good That's a good reference point.
What?
It's a reference point for it's hard
people
to evaluate.
People overhype Tua.
Is past Tua.
No, I'm saying that's where. I don't want to do this right now because this should be an episode of celebration. But it's the idea of it's hard to evaluate exactly what he is because of the talent pool that's been around him. But he does the things that he's good at very, very
so
well.
So we'll see. And it's still, even if he didn't have talent around him, it's still so early on. So
okay, exactly.
Okay, Draper. All right.
It's fine. Calm down.
Here's my thing.
Calm down, Emil.
Is that when even when the plays broke down, Brock Purdy is able to make things happen. How about the escape?
He's fantastic.
How about the escape to find Kyle Juszczyk, the under around, a la Eli Manning to escape and find someone? I mean, the dip around. And just like I saw on Twitter, if Lamar Jackson made that play, internet goes crazy. But because Brock Purdy made it, he got lucky.
It's fine. I don't.
Let's chill, Niner fan. You did have an 88 pass rating.
I don't know how to. Well, he had a horrible first half.
89.
But speaking of Draper, he's always talking about the eye test, and this man's passing the eye test every week.
Yeah,
he's such a baller. I love him.
He's proven he's a winner. He's a winning quarterback. He makes plays when things break down. There weren't things open, and what happened? He made plays with his legs. He made the things that mattered. A la Steve Young, pulling a little page out of that book.
Also, to add, he's proven in some aspects. He still has. Things to prove.
Yes.
But literally every quarterback in the NFL except for Patrick Mahomes has things to prove.
Yeah.
So it's just part of the debate. It's part of the conversation. It's part of why he's so polarizing. But Niners have a top 10 quarterback, and I don't think that's an argument anymore.
Yes.
I don't think people should be arguing that. If you are, I think it's a hot take thing. I think it's the hot of just, look at the talent around him. Okay, sure, but now he's just done it for so long, and he's not making stupid decisions. And, he makes some stupid decisions, but they work out a lot.
He makes some ill-advised ones.
Yeah, and he's playing too well to deny his talent. But we are going to go to break here in a second. I want to say we are on YouTube live in the breaks. If you want to jump in with us, talk to us. It's really off kilter. It's kind of just about whatever. So if you're interested in Sacktown Sports on YouTube, check us out, get in the chat. Just talk to us. We're talking to everyone. We just appreciate you guys being in there.
Yep, and we'll be back in just a second to preview more Niners Chiefs Super Bowl 58 right here, Sacktown Sports.
Welcome back to the Return of the Empire podcast
with Emil Fragoso and Nate Littlefield.
Hi, Grandma.
You want to swag surf with me and Taylor Swift here?
Return of the Empire, Emil Fragoso, Nate Littlefield, Kyle Edbetter. Will the Niners be swag surfing after Super Bowl 58? We'll find out. Or will it be Taylor Swift getting her last laugh in her first ever Super Bowl? Will Travis Kelce pose on the field? We'll find out,
no,
I guess, in Las
Vegas.
It's
not going to be that.
I mean, you never know. I mean, that'd be the most storybook ending for Travis Kelce. Retire and propose in the same day?
Yeah, dude. I think proposing to a girl you met 4 months ago is a really good idea. I'm all for that.
You know what? If it's meant to be, it's meant to be.
It was meant to be, yeah, like the song.
Yeah. It'll be.
That she sings.
Who sings that song?
That's,
oh, come she does on, not sing bro. That song.
That's not a Taylor Swift song, but that's
yeah,
fine.
It was meant to be
that's
under
not...
the bleachers.
What?
That's, that, you're doing two different songs.
What song is that?
The bleachers, I wear short skirts, she wears t-shirts. Yeah, that's Taylor Swift, but it was meant to be as a Florida Georgia Line song.
No. I'm thinking of that Taylor Swift song that goes, no, she literally says it was meant to be. What? I've never heard any Florida Georgia Line song.
Have you ever thought just maybe you belong with me? It's you belong with
me. Yeah, okay, that's... But she doesn't say... She definitely says it was meant to be in that song.
No, she does not.
No, she does. She said it
You're
was meant
tripping.
To...
You're tripping!
No, I know. Hold I know, on, I know, on, I know what he's talking about. I know he's... It, she goes, it was meant to be... Yeah, it was meant to be... And then I'm pretty sure she says that. I'm pretty positive. I know that the chorus for that was it was meant to be, but it was B.B. Rex that sang that song.
Turn my swag on. Anyways, I think
crazy.
I am wrong.
We're
actually.
Off topic.
Yes,
off
you
this
are.
This is Mandela effect.
we're off topic.
I'm sorry I did this. I just wanted to do the Kansas City swag surf
you
on
threw,
you guys.
You threw me off. Let's
oh,
take it down.
That's what that song is?
Let's take it down. Let's
Kansas City has
talk.
No swag.
This was the whole thing. During the Miami game in the -5 degree game, everyone was swag surfing
oh,
together
dang,
in Kansas
know that.
City.
It was, yeah.
See,
that's
know.
Why I said me and Taylor are swag See, surfing.
Taylor was swag surfing. Maybe the Niners get the last laugh. Maybe they won't. We'll see. Again, Niners, Chiefs, Super Bowl. Kyle, I swear. This is why I like Kyle. Because Kyle throws me off my game.
I didn't name the show.
Thank you for having that drop.
I didn't name the show. That is a good drop.
I named the show.
I don't even know why I'm on this show. Yeah. Was that one from today?
Yeah, that's from today. I also have this one.
Yeah, I suck. Everyone else on the team scored. Except for me.
Yeah, that's a funny one.
I was there for that. Was great.
He, that's CMC.
There were a lot of great meme-worthy clips from pressers this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suck.
Yeah, he's a funny dude.
Anyways, Niners... Chiefs, Super Bowl 58, a rematch of 4 years ago.
What did you think about the Kelce, Mahomes, Justin Tucker beef?
That was interesting.
What? Give me your rundown on that.
It really wasn't.
I didn't know a ton of it. I was just seeing it on the Twitters when I got to Levi's, and I was like, oh, we're going to have a little bit of hot. And they were pushing.
I forgot. You can't
toss.
Really watch. Like, it's really hard for you to watch games beforehand.
They had it on. So while I
They
was,
have it on, but it's not like it's easy. It's not.
They had it on the Jumbotrons, though, while I was down in the field.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Which, craziest experience on the field. This game really felt like the Super Bowl. I'm being honest.
It did feel like it at home, too.
It felt like a special. Not only that, but the weather was so perfect. It was actually humid. Where it was like warm. It was weird. I was confused for a January day. There are people pulling me aside saying this is just, you could feel the atmosphere, the special day, and how much it meant.
Who's pulling you aside and saying that?
Some fan pulled me aside, some old lady.
Greg Olson.
A fan of you?
No.
A fan of the Niners.
She goes,
are you Emil Fragoso of Sacktown Sports?
No.
And the Return of the Empire podcast?
Okay, let me set the scene here, please. I was in the tunnel about to get walkouts, and I was there, standing next to David Lombardi. And one
name
of,
drop.
So I'm standing there in the tunnel waiting for them to come out of the locker room and to get this shot. And one of the I think it was a family relative of a player was standing aside next to me, and she just started talking. She was like, "You can feel how like the energy in here. It's like a special vibe in here." I was like, "No, you can't. I can absolutely agree with you." And while I was down there, there was a good half an hour where I'm standing next to Brandon Crawford, who's just hanging out and having a good time. No one recognized Brandon Crawford, by the way, the whole time I was down there.
Pushing a stroller or something?
Yeah, he was in front row from clear view to see. No one said anything. I was, like, confused. And then in front of me, like, 10 feet away from me was Barry Sanders for
There's a lot more bigger names than Brandon Crawford.
He's still a Bay Area legend, part of the Dynasty's Giants of in the last decade. Still a very known person in the Bay Area, obviously. But no one said anything. I was kind of surprised. There was a who's who down there. It was a madhouse.
Yeah.
And eventually I went back up to the press box because the Wi-Fi just wasn't working down in the field.
Wait, what was the point of this story
again?
The
point of the story was that the atmosphere, the vibe really felt special. It felt like it was a big occasion.
But what did this have to do with Justin Tucker?
Yeah. And
It switched around, okay? It switched back to the game we actually were at, not the Chiefs-Ravens
game. Were you trying
game?
To show off because a lady recognized you? Is that what it was?
No, it wasn't.
Is that what you're trying to brag that. About some lady it, meeting you?
I was trying to set a picture about the game and the atmosphere at this game because I could feel it felt different than the Packer game.
I don't know how we did get here, though, because we were talking about that, and then I think I said, it's hard to watch the game when you're there, so I guess you probably
didn't. Yeah, someone asked him what he thought about the Mahomes and Justin Tucker thing, which, by the way, wasn't even that interesting.
It was a whatever thing.
A bunch of special teamers pushed before the game started. It was whatever.
I thought it was weird, but I don't really care that much. I thought maybe you might have a hot take on that.
No, the Chiefs got the last laugh, and that's all that really matters. And now there's a bunch of Lamar questions we have to ask. Can he ever get over the hump?
We don't care. Let's just talk about the team that's actually in the Super Bowl,
Kansas City.
Niners, Chiefs, will be there, Radio Row.
Look at the chat, Rock and Sentimental got lost in the story. I kind of did because things kept getting thrown my way. I got definitely lost in that story. But yeah, Niners, Chiefs, Super Bowl.
Please stop playing that song.
That was just for the
joke. I'm done with the show.
Anyway, Niners, Chiefs. Nate, what would you say your keys for the Niners are in this game?
Do not abandon the run. The Niners should not abandon the run. Start with the run, end with the run. It should be a part of the game the whole time. I mean, obviously, if you're down by a bunch, you can't. By a bunch, I mean three scores, you know, and it's second half, I'd say, then it's throwing mode for the most part. But the run and CMC need to set the tone and keep the ball out of Mahomes' hands. And you do that by having the ball, by winning time of possession. Every week I talk about time of possession. The Niners won it last week. They won it 32-27.
Yep.
So 32-28 almost because the seconds.
About 4.5 is fair.
Yeah. So win the time of possession. Do not let Mahomes hang out in the pocket forever.
Nope.
Because he did against Baltimore.
That's a problem.
This pass rush needs to come at full force. Arik Armstead, I think, has a good chance to do some real damage to this team. I'm weary of Isaiah Pacheco. That dude does not get enough love. He's very, very good.
He runs angry.
He's very good. Very talented running back. I'm very impressed. He's like a... Oh, man. He's like a compressed version of CMC almost. Like, he's just... Compressed. He's bigger, actually. I don't know what...
I think he's taller.
I think you might be right. But I just... I don't know.
Where are you going with
this? I think CMC plays big, is what I'm trying to say.
He does.
The Niners need to win the time of possession by a significant amount. Because Mahomes can score any second, any time. All his receivers can catch now, which is, you know, good timing, right? Whatever. I guess that's how we got here. But just win time of possession, run the ball, have these 10 to 12 play drives that are 8 minutes long, score touchdowns. You have to score touchdowns. Field goals aren't going to cut it. And you might not even make these field goals because Jake Moody is so up in the air.
Remember we were giving our predictions about, hey, maybe having a rookie kicker in big pressure moments when you're a Super Bowl contender isn't a good thing. Well, that kind of reared its ugly head in the first half.
Good news, it's in a dome.
Shanahan took a risk. I mean, I don't even think the dome matters, really. I think it's his, I think it's all in his head.
I will say, though.
He's been great at kickoffs.
He did rebound and make a field goal later in the fourth quarter when he had to.
A la Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
Rebound. So that's great.
He made the play. He made a kick.
Kickers need to make all their kicks. Jake Moody needs to make all his kicks.
He made two kicks, actually.
I don't even want to see an attempt that's more than 50 yards, unless it's like end of the half or something crazy.
Like you have to kick it.
Yes. I mean, 4th and 8 or something, go for it. But, kick the field goal.
Oh, Dan but, Gamble over here.
No, we're not gambling on fourth and eight.
Yeah, I'm saying kick the field goal. Yeah. Time of possession is so big. I keep saying it, and I say it all the time, but it's just the truth. And the offense, if they click the whole game, the offense clicks the whole game, I think it's a guaranteed Niners win. Like, if the offense is clicking the whole time for the Niners and the defense plays okay,
they score 30 points, no problem, right?
And you got to keep in mind, the KC only scored 17 last week, and I know it's Baltimore's defense, and they're very good, but the dude had all day to throw. He converted on fourth downs. He got it to Mr. Kelce.
Mahomes only had one. He only had one touchdown, only 240 yards passing. Just saying.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good stat line for most quarterbacks. For Mahomes, that raises an eyebrow.
It does.
In case you haven't seen Kansas City much this year, for anyone listening, Kansas City's offense is not what it was the last time they... I guess you could say 2 years ago, it's not the same offense it was. It's a very precision-based offense now for Kansas City. Like,
timing-based?
It's a lot of timing-based.
Which is how the Niners' passing offense is based, too. It's very timing-based.
Timing, yeah. Fusion,
and honestly, they're very similar because you got those freak, like, breakdown plays where it's like, okay, Brock has to scramble out of the pocket. He's going to get tackled.
Yep.
Okay, now he's got to find Juszczyk for that first down. Like, that's Mahomes' M.O.
Yes. Kansas City incorporates a ton of motion, screen passes, kind of a similar.
Very similar.
Yeah, and that's what they want to do. So
they just
like,
have worse personnel.
If the Niners win the time of possession, it's going to be a problem for Kansas City. The other thing Kansas City has a problem with, though, is that when they get penalties on the offensive side of the ball, it kind of breaks down drives a lot. Oh. So that's something that's important when you have four beefy dudes on the defensive line that can apply pressure on them.
And then the Niners linebacking core, the Niners, not secondary, but that second level linebacking core is, is elite. Like, that is...
Fred Warner, Greenlaw.
It's going to be tough to throw there. And, you know, people were saying that before the Detroit game and during it, and it was easy for them, but in the first half. But, you know, I don't think that's going to happen again.
I have a key to this game that the Niners just have to do because they haven't done it in two games. How about set the edge? How about stop outside runs?
Yeah.
Because this has been their kryptonite for what seems the last 2 weeks. That and screen passes, that's been a whole year issue. I don't know what it is with screen passes and third and longs. They can't get off the field right now. Third and 10, can't get off the field. Third and 16, can't get off the field. Third and 14, can't get off the field. What is it with playing a prevent defense? For some reason, they can't collapse down fast enough and swarm to the football like they did under D'Amico Ryans. That has to change. They need to play with their ass on fire this game. They have to go after every single Chief player on every single drive and play to the final whistle. Because if they play prevent defense and allow these guys to sneak into first downs, it's going to be a long day for the Niners defense.
Kyle, do you have a key for the Niners to win this game?
Well, you touched on the time of possession one, which is a big deal. Offensively, they are going to need to... I don't want to say... they're going to need big plays because that's way too simplistic. But what Kansas City has really well that they haven't in the past or specifically had the last Super Bowl is two legitimate number one corners in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like Trent McDuffie is a first-team All-Pro slot corner and L'Jarius Sneed is a Pro Bowl corner. I think both of them were top 17 in Pro Football Focus grades at the corner position this year.
Excellent.
Like Kansas City has a legitimate ability to stop the pass and force Brock Purdy into mistakes because they're great at blitzing and they have two corners that are going to be really good at potentially covering Ayuk one-on-one. Like, I think they might just have Sneed follow Ayuk for a good portion of the game. So, like, the Niners never have a problem with abandoning the run, but the Niners, you know, don't do what Baltimore did, which is just force things into passing situations because Kansas City, like, as good as the weapons are for the 49ers, like, as good as those weapons are, Kansas City can stop all three of Ayuk, Debo, and Kittle. They can stop all three of them in the passing game, and so avoiding those turnovers when they blitz is going to be a huge thing for the Niners. And when they blitz, that can lead to big plays.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And Brock has been pretty good against the blitz.
Absolutely, but the Chiefs are also number 7 in DVOA for a reason. They've shown it all season. Their defense has really been what's anchored them, and that's why they've been so effective. Again, Niners, Chiefs, next Sunday, not this Sunday. We're going into kind of the Pro Bowl this week, but no Niners are going to be in the Pro Bowl because they got a bigger game to go to.
That's such a nice feeling.
How's that feel?
I love it.
You don't got to watch dodgeball.
I never watch it.
No flag football.
I have not watched it in 6 years.
It's more interesting now they have the games and they do the actual whatever. I think it's more interesting because it's more fun.
In fairness, I haven't watched it, so I haven't given it a try.
Yeah, so I guess
I think it's more interesting because there's no one tackling each other. They're kind of having fun out there. They're playing schoolyard games.
I'd like to say I think the plan right now is we might do a preview show before the Super Bowl, a live show. Not sure yet. This might be our last live show.
For now.
Well, we wouldn't do one season. After. No, I guess if they... If they win, then we wouldn't be here on that Tuesday afterwards.
Well, this we'll figure this out later, but
we will.
I'll give a final prediction. I can't do that right now. It's too early. I don't want to. Well, I'm sure we'll get one more chance. And listen to the podcast, guys. Download the podcast, Between the Empire, SackdownSports.com. Check out Emil's articles. We'll be in Vegas. We're going to stay on YouTube for a bit. If you want to wrap things up here.
Yes, appreciate everyone listening here on Sacktown Sports, wherever you may be, podcast form or live right now. You two, we appreciate you, Jess, Rock, and Manny, Brian, everybody, Megadeth, everybody that has listened to this show. Thank you for giving us the time of day listening to us and taking in some young 49ers talk. And it's been a great, great season. We hope to do more. We will do more Niner coverage over the next week and a half. It'll be a hectic week. But for now, Niners, Chiefs, Super Bowl 58, we will see you soon. Peace!